MoneyWeb now on the money.
This show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. I'm chatting with Hannes Wessels, General Manager of South Africa for Binance. Hannes, appreciate the time today. We had the Bitcoin ETFs at the beginning of the year. Last week, we got the Ethereum ETFs being approved. Have they listed and how many came to market? Because with Bitcoin, we got, I think 10 or 11 of them at the time.
I think it's slightly less because I think a bit less demand than the Bitcoin one. But I think of the ones that listed, one that always stands out between the two would be the Grayscale Trust. That's obviously had a bit of an impact on both of them. So I think that's the one initially everybody will keep their eye on. And then obviously as that pivots into the larger players like BlackRock and Fidelity, that's when you know the market has found an equilibrium.
And what we've seen, I mean, it was the same. Bitcoin's been around, 14 odd years, Ethereum newer. But this kind of takes it up a level. I mean, there are a lot of asset managers, a lot of folks out there who don't want to go to a platform like Binance. Now they can literally do it in their traditional brokerage account. It brings legitimacy and ease of access.
It certainly does. I think the way I look at it, it's a traditional access mechanism to a new asset. Mm-hmm. And what's good for the Ethereum ETF or ETFs is that the Bitcoin ETFs have shown the way. I think people see that it can work and it gives a bit more trust to the platform. And now I think we're going to see a lot more liquidity come in over time.
That's the point, because I mean, the numbers in a note that you put out, and this is to mid-July, those Bitcoin ETFs are holding just over 16 billion. I mean, that is big.
That's a big number, and that number needs to be read against the outflows that we've seen from the Grayscale Trust initially. I mean, I look at this in three phases, Simon, where initially you've got the buy the rumor, sell the news phase.
Yeah.
Then on day one, I think in both cases, we then saw Grayscale opening up. A lot of coins and tokens were locked in both of these instruments. And then exiting the market, because they were locked in for so long, the holders undoubtedly had a profit. And then they took those profits, and then it continues to, can I say, almost bleed out. And then it finds an equilibrium where a lot of that goes to the larger players like BlackRock and Fidelity. And then you see that climb to the number, the 16 billion you just mentioned. And that's, for me, is when you find that equilibrium.
I get your point on it. There's also an important point. I mean, distinction between Bitcoin, which is the grandfather of it all, and which is very much a proof of work. Ethereum's proof of stake, which I also can't help thinking is, I don't want to say the future of crypto, but an important component of some of the coins.
It is. It is. And it's Bitcoin obviously unique in its operating mechanism. Some of its forks, as we call them, Bitcoin Cash, etc., also use a proof of work. But the remainder all use proof of stake. So an important mechanism, but also worthwhile remembering that Bitcoin's got a limited supply. Ethereum doesn't. There was actually a number of Ethereums minted before the ETFs opened. So again, I think worthwhile for investors to keep that in mind.
That's actually a great point. I always forget that Ethereum doesn't have a cap. The Bitcoin cap, 21 billion. And I think, I mean, we're probably still a few decades away from that last coin finally dropping.
Yes, it's obviously a reverse parabolic curve. It flattens out over time. But I think more importantly, I heard a number the other day from a reliable source that they will, well, at the moment, there's only actually 15 million Bitcoins in circulation because of Bitcoins people lost, locked out of the accounts, forgot their seed phrases, etc. So that number effectively is actually a lot less than we think it is.
I know someone in the US, he's got 8 Bitcoin in a wallet and he can't hack the password, and it's causing him stress because, of course, that's his retirement. Well, what we are seeing, you quoted a recent survey by EY where there's, I mean, if we'd had this conversation a decade ago, I think most people would say, what's Bitcoin? What's crypto? The whole alternative asset class, and in particular, the crypto coins, they're gaining interest, and particularly in the sort of more traditional financial services as well.
Correct. And I think the measure there, and there always needs to be some form of measure, is Metcalfe's law of networking. I think a decade ago, that network was very small. But as you know, every node you add to the network, the number of network paths increase, and that does so exponentially up to a point. And we are not on the steepest part of the curve yet. So I think we've still got a long way to go.
Are we likely? I mean, bringing in of Bitcoin ETFs was definitely a biggie. It was the first time we had a proper ETF over a crypto coin. Now Ethereum, which I think most folks will say is sort of number two in the pecking order. Does this mean we're going to see some more coins coming? And I'm not talking the altcoins, the big ones, but perhaps we're going to start seeing more of those coming to market as well in the ETF space.
I suspect so, Simon. I think the next one we're going to see will be a Solana coin. I think that firm at large, but also I think look at all the decentralized applications they've got under the Solana umbrella. It's really astounding. So I think that's the next one you can expect. And I think the more we get of these, the better, because it gives the investors diversity. And that's ultimately what you're after.
Yeah, diversity and choice. And a great point you make there with Solana, where Bitcoin, we can do stuff with the blockchain, but the newer coins coming through, Ethereum and then Solana, those blockchains are so much more than just the coins.
Exactly, exactly. And I think that was one of the things that, other than Bitcoin's limited supply, also interest folks like, you know, Larry Fink at BlackRock. Mm. These guys need what the investment community will call alpha. And there's just not a lot of alpha left if you go outside of tech. So then you need to start looking at these alternative asset classes. And I think if you look at someone like Larry Fink, he's wholly convinced this is the way to go. So that obviously makes for exciting times.
Yeah, the hunt for alpha. And as you point out, it has been this year. If you weren't in tech, you were missing the alpha. We'll leave it there. Hannes Wessels, General Manager, South Africa for Binance. Appreciate the time.
The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.